Well, hello. Welcome to the first of the Mini Waxing Lyrically podcast. I am Kieran Myers, and today we are going to be interviewing Ryan and Tommy Bailey on our first of our lyric love stories. But first, let me remind you of some upcoming events. We've got Showdown on the Brazos premiering on March 23rd and 24th. It is a locally made movie, so all you locals might want to come. Then we have All Shook Up premiering April 5th and running through the 14th. This is definitely a treat that the Lyric is putting on. It is the music of Elvis Presley set to a modern version of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. So for all you couples who might have antitheses in taste, this might be a good blending of the two. And then the last thing that we've got coming up toward the end of April is Dennis Lambert concert on April 20th as part of our Lyric concert series. So today, Tommy and Ryan, welcome to the Mini Waxing podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the two of you. How'd you meet?
Well, you want to tell the story or?
I can get it started at least. We met in 1998 at the Hill Country Arts Foundation Point Theater in Ingram, Texas. I had been in the area for maybe 6 months at that point and had already gotten involved at the theater. And they were getting ready to do a production of the best Christmas pageant ever. It was October.
Love it.
And they were already rehearsing. And the guy who was playing the father in the story had to drop out for personal reasons. So they called me to step in. Like I said, they barely knew me at this point. I had only been in the area for maybe half a year. So they call me up, ask me to step in and take over this part. So I do. And that is when I met Tommy. So we met playing husband and wife in the best Christmas pageant ever.
Look how prophetic.
Grace indeed. And Bob Bradley.
That's right.
Yes, that was us.
Well, fun. Well, carry on with the story.
Oh,
what happened after that? So that's how you met.
That's how we met. We became quick friends. We dated a little bit off and on through the years.
For four years, we dated on and off.
Yes.
Yeah. stayed friends the whole time?
Yes, we just stayed friends. So when we weren't dating each other, if we had a date with someone else, we always called each other to go over said date because we had quickly become each other's best friend.
Awesome.
We finally, I guess, decided that we wanted to make it permanent.
Like I said, about 4 years was the the dating on and off, and then 3 years dating as a couple before getting married.
We have known each other now 25 years.
25 years.
And you've been doing theater the whole time through that.
The entire time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is going to make our lyric, how well you know your partner love game, a little bit more interesting. And you've got
When you asked us those, you know, individual questions, I was like,
it's like, that's a lot of years we've known each other that we should know everything, but it's also a lot of years of things to choose from.
Oh, for sure.
It is.
Okay, so you were paired as husband and wife in a play. So, but what, besides just proximity and frequency, what interested you about each other when you were like, oh, so we're going to be playing opposite each other? What was the spark?
Oh, wow. I don't know. We just...
I don't know.
I think that... A lot of my attraction, I think, to Tommy right off the bat is the fact that she was unlike any woman I had ever, been interested in. So maybe that had a lot to do with it, just completely different.
He still is, even though he's getting
completely
a little
completely different. Yes, I am.
he was the all-American boy next door. Really, really was. Still is at times.
You're blushing a little bit.
I know.
Well,
but yes, he also was actually the complete opposite of what I would normally go for. And but I think what it was is we connected on a friendship level. There was always an attraction, but that friendship came into play I think more than anything at first.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very fast.
Our mutual love of the theater, I think that was something. I had never dated anyone that was involved in the theater.
Okay.
Really. Most people, most men that I had been around, been friends with, had dated, just didn't quite get what it was about. Which I understand that, but you know, it does make for difficulty at times whenever you're like, so I'm going to be kind of busy for 6 weeks.
Yes.
and his complete understanding of every level, understanding that what you are doing on stage has nothing to do with what's off stage. I know I've had people ask, well, how do you feel about Ryan kissing another woman on stage? I'm like,
oh yeah,
he's playing a part.
Anyone
in fact,
particular?
You were one of those people, Karen.
I know. Yeah, Ryan and I had that conversation. I was like, so I've never kissed anybody on stage. Have you? He said, no. I said, well,
nope.
We can be
awkward
first
this
together.
Time. That's right.
Exactly. And you know, and he understands if I have to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, and the different. In one show we were in, I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, we were in a scene together where we got to just yell at each other, and I end up just ringing his bell. And then in the next show we were in, it was Cabaret, and then his character had to slap me.
Couples therapy.
Yeah, well, he had a really hard time with. I did not have as hard of a time with it.
No, she didn't.
I was able to find that anger. No.
She channeled it well.
She didn't have to dig very deep, but
no, but it's. I don't know. We've had so many different life experiences through characters also. I think it's really helped us. And the many years that we dated and were friends, I think we got all of the baggage out of the way.
For sure. Well,
yeah, I think that's what those first 4 years was about, was we knew we weren't ready to settle down yet.
Well, and like theater seems like something that it was the foundation of your relationship or the impetus for your relationship. So it's been something that hasn't really been a second thought in your relationship. So do I need to stop what I'm doing in this season of life? Or there's probably even been times where you did shows together and you're like, well, let's just enter into the madness of the next 8 weeks together. Right.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yes,
and we always kind of have a good idea of what our lives are going to be like at home during that time, and you know how our diets are going to change.
Yes. You mentioned
for Whataburger,
the
lots of Whataburger.
There's a lot of Whataburger
or Taco Casa or something, but that changes a lot. For sure, especially, you know, show by show. And sometimes I'll do a show and she has to do more at home and,
vice versa.
So, you know, leaving from work straight to rehearsal doesn't leave a lot of stuff,
when
time to do
gets,
stuff at home.
It kind of harkens back to our, I'd say, older days.
Our younger days.
Yeah. The old times when we were young. It's when we do shows where we're both in the show. I'm doing costumes or choreography, and then he's doing set and lights. So that really does kind of, it's nostalgic in a way, for me at least, where I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this, you know, because that's kind of where we started.
Yeah. And for you, do you have that same kind of, does it feel more like a bond, like you're growing closer together when you do a show together versus somebody taking one season and one another season?
You know, I would say that all of it combined strengthens the bond that we have because when we're in a show together or involved with a show together, we can support each other in a very mutual way because we're both going through the same experience. If it's one of us in a show and the other one not, we can still be supportive and in completely different ways too. And
well, we just understand what the other one's going through.
For sure.
We do. I mean, it's all a lot of experience that we've already had. So we kind of know what to expect and what to deal with. But also, as years have gone and we've done more and more variety of projects together, we're finding new ways that we get to work together that we didn't always get to do. Like, as I do lights and set more and she does costumes more, we collaborate on colors. On what colors, you know, are going to work to help with the story, but also to, you know, not let the characters literally blend into the set and that kind of thing. So we get to collaborate on that way, which was not something that started, you know, right at the beginning too. So we that's evolved. Yeah, it's neat.
Well, you mentioned earlier that it was a theater in Ingram where you met. So how did you get from Ingram to Brownwood and ultimately the Lyric?
Oh, you want to go through the steps?
I will try.
Steps along the way.
We started when we first met. At that time, the Point Theater was the main community theater in the area. After a few years after that, Playhouse 2000, well, in 2000, opened in Kerrville, which is just right there. It's kind of like Brownwood and Early.
Okay.
Ingram and Kerrville is.
Yes.
So we had friends that had split off and done that theater. So we did some things there. In the meantime, in that time, I guess, was when you went back to Chicago for a short period of time.
For a summer. For a 2003, yeah.
And then came back. It was immediately on stage in A Lion Winter. We were in that together. Then in, when was it that we went to Fredericksburg? When was Amadeus?
Yeah, that was in 2007, and that's what got us started to head in a more northward direction.
Right, gotcha.
Because they did Amadeus at Fredericksburg Theater Company, and that was kind of a bucket list role for me at the time, so I auditioned for that and got into that.
And we drove back and forth, but then we had the opportunity to actually move to Fredericksburg.
Okay.
So we did. We were there...
8 years?
8 years, eight to 10 years,
right
in there. Our life also exists in what year was the show. That's how we know what year.
Anyone else can identify to that?
It's very strange.
Yes.
He, during that time period, at the Point, he had done Greater Tuna. And then he did, and I did costumes. Then Fredericksburg did Greater Tuna and Tuna Christmas. And I did costumes for those. Through that experience, the director knew Jason Williams. And so Jason came to see the show. He was very complimentary.
Oh, and for our listeners, define for us who Jason Williams is.
Okay, Jason Williams is one of the co-creators of Greater Tuna, Tuna Christmas. He's gone on to do some other things. But he's kind of a Texas...
Kind of a Texas staple, really.
Yes,
I mean,
in
the theater world, he's, to me... Of course, now that I've worked with him, I really feel this way. He's like up there with Willie Nelson in music. You know what I mean? I mean, he's just got that kind of... he's a legend.
Gotcha.
He is a legend. Yeah. He's an incredible human being. And actor, writer, director now, too.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
He came to see the show, loved it, told Ryan that he was in the process of bringing back a national tour of Greater Tuna.
Oh, wow.
And that he wanted Ryan to come audition.
Awesome.
And... at that time, he also said he was very impressed with the costumes I had done. And if things worked out, wanted to know if I wanted to be involved as a dresser, costume, mistress, that type thing.
Oh, awesome.
So in that process, Ryan auditioned. They ended up casting the show. It's normally a two-person show, but he wanted to bring something else into it, so he found three actors, and he split the roles up.
Okay.
And
because that's a very intense show with two people, and there's lots of, like, you're just changing in the wings and coming back
over
on.
Over 20
and,
characters. Yes. So, by two people.
Yeah.
And in this case, three.
In this case, three.
Yeah.
So, with that, I was hired as the costume mistress.
Okay.
Which meant I got to fly out to Lubbock and bring back in a U-Haul the original costumes from their original tours.
That's awesome.
And go through them, see what was still good, found out we were missing a lot of the Joe Sears costumes.
Oh, rats.
Because he took them back to Oklahoma
for sure.
I think they have a little museum there.
Okay.
But anyway, because of that, though, I got to work with Linda Fisher, who she is a costumer in New York.
Ooh, fun.
She's costumed multiple Broadway shows, including the original Greater Tuna.
Wow.
All of the Tuna shows. She was
the person.
The costumer.
Wow.
So I learned a lot from her. Feisty little redheaded lady that she is. She's fabulous. Scares a lot of people, but I made it through it. But yes, I learned a lot from that whole experience. Then we loaded up on a bus and took off, and we went to...
How long did that Tuna tour last?
Six weeks?
About 6 weeks. We went all over Texas. Had a show in New Mexico. We went out to Florida for a couple of shows.
Oklahoma.
Arkansas. And I wanted to say Louisiana, but we just went through Louisiana and stopped in New Orleans, which was nice.
We had a good time there. It was a nice break from being on the bus so much.
But so after that high of being on the Tuna tour, tell me about your lives and how it got you to Brownwood.
Okay. Well,
actually, it was not long after that ended that things were kind of ready for a change for us. We had hit a point where we were really ready to buy a house.
Gotcha.
Because after all those years of being together, we had yet to own a home. We were renters the entire time. So we were getting to a point where we were ready to buy.
Yes.
And
settle
knew
down
that
and be adults.
Gillespie County, you know, Fredericksburg area was going to be out of our price range. So we started looking around, and one of the things that had us look here was her father lives in the area.
Okay.
So that was ultimately what got us looking in the Brownwood area was we
and
wanted to be kind of close
that
to
we have a theater
and how theater. About that
exactly. the interesting thing is right before we had bought the house, we were coming up here every so often and working on it because it needed to be completely remodeled, but our mentor that we had actually been working with when we met, and he had directed in Fredericksburg. He passed away. And so it was before we moved here for good. We had kind of, I don't know, that just kind of took the wind out of our sails. We thought, okay, this is, wow, it's, it kind of really hit us hard because it was completely out of the blue, not expected at all. So we kind of at that time decided, well, maybe this is the universe telling us we've reached a different time in our lives.
A new season.
New season.
And it's okay to move on.
It's okay to move on. We're okay with this because at that time we didn't actually know that the lyric was here.
Oh.
And we had just driven through, you know, main road to get to where our house
is. Get to your dad's house,
Yeah, and actually to get to my dad's house, you wouldn't even drive because he lives in Brooksmith. So we didn't even come into Brownwood some of the time, you know, and
So then how did you find out about the lyric?
We came, we had been hearing a little bit about it because we started church at that time, First United Methodist Church, where Eric is the musical director.
Ah, there you go.
And so we had kind of heard bits and pieces and had heard people come that perform here to sing solos during church and all. And then they were doing their movie, Selma.
Yes.
And so we both liked the movie and said, you know, I've never gotten to see it in the movie theater. Let's just go.
Yeah.
And we came.
We were the only ones here.
We were the only two that showed up for that particular viewing of
it.
Right.
It was a private viewing
in a big room.
But we just fell in love with the theater. I mean,
and I think wasn't it right after the movie we went in and introduced ourselves to Eric and said, "Hey, we do this.
Can we do this too?
how do we get involved?" It was funny because on the way in, I said, "Now we don't know anything about theater. We don't know how to do anything. We're just here to see the movie."
And thinking, as you just said, that we thought that we were moving away, you know, finding somewhere new because we were going to move on.
You moved right on to Broadway.
Right on to the lyric.
Yes. And you know, Eric started talking to us, and then I hear Ryan say, "Oh, and Tommy, she's a choreographer, and she's a costumer." And I was like, "What?
What? Hang on, we just had this discussion."
Yeah,
she still has not let me live that one.
Oh my goodness. Well, I heard from a little birdie that theater is very much a part of your lives. It's been a part of your lives, and so much so that you had a granddaughter born while you guys were doing a show together.
Yes. We were Morticia and Gomez Adams.
Oh my goodness.
In the Adams family. And our daughter was the stage manager for the show.
And your daughter's Rachel Howell.
Yes.
She owns Luna Maya Baby Boutique in town.
Yes, she does. And you can find me there most days that she's open.
And she was indeed stage managing at 9 months pregnant.
Oh, yes, she was. Go girl. Wow.
Yeah.
We thought we had a little bit more time, but the Monday after our second weekend, we had 3 weekends.
Runs, okay.
Runs there. And the Monday after the second, Rachel goes, "I don't think I'm feeling too good." And I was like, "Okay." And we ended up having, we had a little Adams, I guess.
Yeah.
So we could call her Monday Adams?
Yes.
And the interesting thing was Ryan was working at the hospital at the time.
I was actually able to take a break during my day and be there when Maya was born. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I had a similar experience. I was auditioning at 6 months pregnant for Beverly Hillbillies, and Larry Mathis couldn't tell that I was pregnant and cast me. And so I finished up Beverly Hillbillies at 8.5 months pregnant.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, that was something.
Yes.
I was going, I don't know if you ever saw pictures of that set, but there were stairs going everywhere.
Oh, jeez.
Some of them were very shallow stairs, very high shallow stairs. But we made it. No baby was born backstage, and that was the best part.
Yay. That is good.
No falling down and inducing labor.
Oh, my gosh. No. But, I'm telling you, I had to suck it in a lot.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, well, let's move on to our Lyric Lovers game. And so I have asked you each a set of questions prior to recording. So the rules are this. You have to guess how your partner answered these questions without cheating, because I have the answers. So, don't, sign language him the answers.
Okay.
And your goal is to see whoever knows their partner best, and whoever has more points wins. Okay. So, dear Ryan.
Yes.
I asked Tommy 3 questions.
Okay.
And the first one was, in order, what is your favorite role in a show between costumer, choreographer, and performer? And there are bonus points if you get her order correct.
Oh, all right, so tell me that one more time.
So between costumer, choreographer, and performer, what is her favorite, in order, what is her favorite role?
I'm going to say from favorite to least favorite would be performer, choreographer, costumer.
Oh my gosh, you are so close. You got 2 and 3 swapped.
Oh,
she said performer, costumer, choreographer.
Oh,
it was very hard because
I think that's the one she was agonizing over.
It was.
Okay.
It was. So he's.
We can give you a point and a half for that.
Yes, that was that was maybe based on years of venting coming home from rehearsals that I've heard. So it could be a perfect 50-50 mix, honestly. So I just took a shot.
Hey, that was great. That was great. Okay, her second question is, what is your favorite musical of all time, one that she's been in or just watched?
Favorite musical.
There's a lot to
there's
pick from
a, there's Americans a lot. Love musicals. There's a lot.
I did have a hard time answering that.
Boy, I'm going to take a wild shot here and say Chicago.
Oh my gosh, you know your wife so well.
Did I? Wow.
Let you go. That is so impressive.
You
all right.
Listen
I'm
to
surprised
me.
By own self.
Thank you. We'll see how well I listen
about
to you.
Say guys, I was about to say Guys and Dolls.
Oh,
this
that's it's a close one.
Yeah, okay.
That's, ooh, that's a classic. That's
yeah, it is a classic.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, and then her last question is, what was your favorite theater-related memory of Ryan? What is her favorite theater-related memory of you?
Oh, boy.
I'll give you a hint. There was a tie. She did say it was a tie.
There's a tie.
So you have two options.
Oh, man. Okay, the one that stands out that we have told in story time many, many times is a goofy little play that we did in Fredericksburg called The Making of the Mousetrap. And it was written by the executive director there. I mean, he wrote the show. It was about their production of The Mousetrap that they put on where all sorts of stuff went wrong. It was like, it was like their own little Noises Off, basically.
Oh, gosh.
But our characters had a scene where, who started with the gum? I think I started with
you
the gum.
You started with the gum.
I'm chewing gum.
Mm-hmm.
And she kisses me.
Oh, dear.
And when we stop kissing, I no longer have the gum. We swap gum on stage.
Oh boy!
Something
oh boy.
I could only ever do with.
I learned
a spouse,
during
I, think.
I learned during that show that people don't read the playbills.
No, they don't. They didn't know.
They didn't realize
we were married yeah.
at the time. So it did
all sorts of
cause
complaining
some
and
a flutter things. But that was not it, darling. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness. Oh. Okay, and so what would be the second one then?
I got nothing.
Okay, well, she answered, it's a tie, working with Ryan as the director and being on tour in Tuna.
Oh, well, that's very sweet.
Yeah. I've worked with him as an actress, and he's the director, and also as a costumer and a choreographer. So I've really, yeah, that's, to me... Awesome.
Well cool. I hadn't thought about that because it's been a while since I've directed anything.
I'm glad I can tell
now
you
that.
Now
that cat's out of the bag, guess what we're going to be asking you to do next?
Oh, yay. Because I've got time for that.
Driving that brown
truck.
Oh, yes. Gosh, yes. All right. So, Tommy, now it's your turn.
Oh, okay.
Let's see how well you know your husband. All right. So, he had three questions that were different from yours.
Okay.
His first one was, what was your favorite all-time play, or what is your favorite all-time play? One that you've been in or would like to be in? What would he have said?
Oh, goodness. Oh, gosh. The one that... There's several mm-hmm. that I could think of. I think the one that comes to mind first, though, is Noises Off.
Okay.
Oh.
He said, the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged. Did you leave out all the vowels on purpose when you texted that to me?
That's actually how it is written.
Okay, yeah. Good. Just making sure.
That was actually my second guess. And
well, that's funny because I almost put Noises Off. So we were on the same page.
All right,
that's
you
pretty
guys.
Good.
I love it. This is great.
It's like, oh gosh, what in what area of... Where we were at in time.
Well, she knew it was going to be a comedy,
yes.
No matter what.
It's going to have to be funny. All right. His second question was, what is your favorite show you've worked on with Tommy? So you, what's his favorite show to work on with you?
I don't know.
Can I give her a hint like I gave you a hint? Mm-hmm. I'll give you a hint. You've already mentioned it once in this interview.
Oh, okay.
That's the hint that I would have mentioned.
Oh, okay. There we go. Okay.
Would it be I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change?
Yes, spot on.
Okay. Yay. Woo! It was, that was right there. And then I didn't know if he had thought of Murder on the Orient Express.
I did, but that just seemed way too obvious and way too recent.
Yeah.
So
we had to skip to the back.
We had a few skit moments because I Love You're Perfect Now Change, for those who don't know, is basically a collection of different skits that aren't necessarily connected, mm-hmm. but they talk about, you know, just relationships from the dating process through,
from
to losing a loved one to
blind date on up to
marriage, kids. I mean, every bit of it.
An elderly couple meeting at a funeral.
Yeah.
And were your roles in that play?
Well, we play. There's four people in the show.
Okay. And so kind of like a tuna.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But all of the characters are just
listed
skit specific.
As woman one, woman two, man one, man two.
Exactly.
And it's you're separated into vocal.
Oh.
Because it's soprano,
mm-hmm.
alto.
Tenor bass.
Yeah, exactly. Tenor bass. But a lot of the skits that we did get to share together were really fun. Some of them were really, really funny. But then we were the older couple, like you said, in the at the funeral scene, which is actually very, very touching. So, I mean, we mm-hmm. had to have some really great variety of interaction in that show. So that I think that's probably why I like that one the most.
Which... I love being able to interact with Ryan on stage because it's selfish. It's very comfortable.
Oh, for sure.
You know, there's that complete trust.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard to establish with somebody that you may not know as well.
Right.
But let's look at that last question that Ryan had for
you. Had you laughing earlier.
What are the three things you need to do before every show? So what are the three things he has to do before every show? Bonus points if you get them in order.
Oh, my word.
Bonus points if you get any of these, really.
remember, this is the one I was laughing at as we were.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh. I'm about to blush again.
Lordy.
It's okay. There's going to be a couple that we're going to interview soon who's got a more embarrassing list of three things than you do.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay.
I know one of them. I'm
not worried then.
That's good to know. Three things he has to do. Well, I know he probably, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure one of them is, I don't know. I'm not sure what to say. I know that right before, he likes quiet right mm-hmm. before so that he can just.
And what does he do in that quiet? There's an action that happens in that quiet. I'll give you another hint.
He paces.
Yes. Okay.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding,
good
ding,
job.
Ding, ding.
That's one of them.
He does. He paces. And he says his prayers, his thankfuls. let's see. I would say go to the bathroom.
Oh, yep, there you go. Yes, yes, yes.
I guess I know my husband fairly well.
Me.
I was like, there's probably more than once you've been looking for him right before a show
and
behind the door.
If you get this last one, I'm done. I just.
She really knows you if she gets this last
That's
one right.
What, if you wouldn't mind, could I cheat a little bit and know what number the bathroom and the pacing? Pacing's
so,
third.
Bathroom is first. Pacing is second.
Okay, pacing is second.
Mm-hmm. But this last one, wowza.
This is the one that had her laughing.
Oh, man. I know he goes around and says good show to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Here's another hint. What do men usually need to check after the bathroom?
Oh, he checks his fly.
About 12 times, he says.
Yes, yes, yes. I have seen him do that. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to say Ryan wins that round.
Yes. Next yes.
Oh, gosh. you guys. You thanks for being such fun interviewees.
That you got that I paced and used the bathroom. It's just, that's fantastically hilarious.
That's fantastic. You guys know each other so well. But again, 25 years of doing theater together. This is perfect.
Yes.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being our first in the Lyric Love series for the Mini Waxing Podcast.
Pleasure.
Yeah, you guys have been great. This has been fun. My cheeks hurt from smiling and laughing. That's a sure sign of a good time. But to all of our listeners out there, thank you for listening. And be sure to check out our BrownwoodLyricTheater.com website for any upcoming events. And also follow us on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Hit that subscribe button to the podcast for your listening enjoyment. And thank you, as always, for listening to our Mini Waxing Podcast today.